Jesus says to his disciples, I will not leave you as an orphan. I will not leave you alone, unprotected. You're on your own now. Jesus won't do that. He sends you the Holy Spirit. He wraps his love around you and says, there's no way you can shake me off. Every day, wrapped in the love of Jesus, the helper, the advocate, the comforter, the paraclete, I'm going to send another comforter, another helper, another advocate that won't just be with you, but will be in you, wrapped up in the love of Jesus through the breath of the Holy Spirit. That's why St. Peter says, baptism now saves you. Not as a washing away of dirt, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Wrapped up in the death and resurrection of Jesus through repentance every day as the Holy Spirit breathes and blows the grace of God upon us, within us, and through us. I will not leave you as an orphan. I will come to you. Where I am, there you shall be also. Because I live, you also will live. Orphans, if I were to ask you, have you ever felt alone? Have you ever had the feeling like you were on your own? Have you ever felt abandoned or desolate as though walking through an emotional desert? You can probably relate to these words of Jesus in his farewell discourse to his disciples. If you've ever moved, you know that transitions can be hard. Leaving behind treasured friends and trusting in the promise of God, the one who wraps you in the Holy Spirit and in the Spirit of truth, in his love and forgiveness each day, who says, I am and will always be your best friend, and I will bring you into community. So we left Lake Lillian, and we went to Little Falls and didn't know a soul. 17 years later, we left beloved friends and went out to Tacoma, Washington, and we didn't know a soul. And then 9 years later, we left Tacoma and came here and didn't know a soul in Rochester. Although there were a few people that God had already crossed our paths with, some on a call committee, some down in Houston, Texas, right, Arnie? You see, God is always opening up the doors through the gift of the Holy Spirit, never leaving us desolate, forsaken, abandoned, or alone. I will not, I will not, I will not, Jesus said, leave you as an orphan. I will come to you. If I tell you the number, 1-6-3-0-0-0-0-0, I know you're probably thinking, is this like winning the lottery or something? No, 163 million. That's the number of orphans through the statistical organization called UNICEF. And the data was compiled for 2007, but compiled in 2009. In 2007, 163 million orphans in need of someone to be a caregiver or a caretaker, alone, fending for themselves. We hear about this all the time in the news, those that apparently are alone. And Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, breathes and says, you are my comforters. You are my people that advocate and help and befriend. In the name of Jesus, you bring the presence of Almighty God, Emmanuel, God with us and through us for the salvation of the world. I will not leave you as an orphan. I was an 18-year-old big shot. Do you know when you graduate from high school, you've got kind of all this kind of self-assurance, which is just camouflage for all this insecurity underneath. And I went off to Concordia College in Moorhead, Minnesota. And my dad was a journeyman plumber, and so they could only take me up to Moorhead, Minnesota on a weekend. They had to drop me off and head back on a Sunday so that my dad could get home and could go to work on Monday. And I was in East Complex, that was the name in those days, up at Concordia College, and I was all alone except for those jocks. You know, the football players that were there early, and they huddled around with each other, but they didn't take an outcast. They didn't take someone who was all alone in a strange place by himself under their wings. No, they wouldn't even say hi to me. So by Sunday night, when it came time to go to bed, I was already feeling lonesome. Oh, man, was that a hard night to get some sleep. And then all day Monday, nobody around, nobody to talk to, all alone, thinking that I had made the biggest mistake of my life. I wanted to go home. I remember calling my mom. She said, "What are you calling for?" I said, "Well, I don't like it here. I don't want to be here." She said, "Oh, stop it, David." I said, "I think I made a mistake. I want to come home. Can you come and get me?" "No, everything's going to be okay, David." Well, orientation would start on Wednesday or Thursday of the week, but how was I going to make it through until then? And would I have any friends? Would anybody take me under their wings? Would there be any comforter to wrap itself around me and give me peace and hope and encouragement? Oh, man, by Monday night after I got done talking to my mom, I was crying. I was crying the river, and I didn't want to be at Concordia College in Moorhead, Minnesota. And then there's a knock on the door, and I think, "Yeah, now who's going to bug me, huh? Somebody who doesn't want anything to do with me anyway." And there was Kip Mickelson. Now, Kip Mickelson and Dave Eflin, they were both juniors. They had been on a singing team, and they had come to New Richmond, Wisconsin, and they had stayed out on the farm with our family when they came to First Lutheran Church to sing and to lead our congregation in worship. I met two people. That's why I looked at Concordia, and then God brought me to Concordia in Moorhead, Minnesota, and here was Kip. And he said, "Thought I would surprise you, Dave. How you doing?" And I started crying. He said, "You okay?" He put his arms around me like a comforter. And I said, "Oh man, I am so homesick. I am so all alone." And he said, "No, you're not." He said, "I'm here. And you're going to make lots of other friends too. And you know, you've got Jesus right there with you all the time. Let's go out and get some pizza, Dave." And so we did. And then we came back that night. He said, "You call me anytime. Remember, I'm your friend here on Concordia College campus. You call me if you need anything." I never forgot that. That was God's presence, God's gift of a comforter, the Holy Spirit. It wasn't an accident. It wasn't just luck or chance. You see, God makes a promise, and God never goes back on his word. "I will not, I will not, I will not leave you as an orphan. I'll come to you. I'll wrap my arms around you when you think that there is no future, when there is no hope, when you're all alone, when you can't make it, when nobody seems to care. You are not alone. God is with you. There are no orphans here. In the kingdom of God, we are a community of faith responsible for all those who find themselves on this earth motherless or fatherless. We are family." The year was 1995, Champaign, Illinois, and a young woman had a baby and got scared. And she took the baby right after she had delivered it without the help of a doctor or anything, cut off the umbilical cord, discarded the baby, a brand newborn, bloody leaves under a pine tree. And then she thought, "Oh my gosh, what have I done?" She called 911. She said, "I'm an anonymous caller. You need to know that there's been a baby that's been born, and it's out at Mount Hope Cemetery under a pine tree." This is 7 a.m. in the morning. November, late November, below zero temperatures. in Champaign, Illinois. And so the first responders went out looking. And there was a gentleman, a man by the name of Charlie Heflin. And he was listening at 7 a.m. to his scanner. He was a volunteer fireman. And he thought, I got to go out there and look for this baby. He felt moved by the Holy Spirit to go out and find this baby. But he didn't go to Mount Hope Cemetery. He felt led by the Spirit to go to another cemetery nearby. And he's looking all around for this newborn baby, and he doesn't find it, and he's walking back to his truck to leave. And it's like the prodding of the Holy Spirit. He said, it's like I could feel the Spirit saying, you get back there and look again. And so he did. And he looked, and he looked. And he heard the tiny whimpering. The tiny whimpering. And he looked, and here was this discarded little baby girl. Bloody leaves, pine needles, umbilical cords still attached. Picked her up, wrapped her up inside of this jacket he was carrying, wrapping it around like a comforter. Calling 911, getting the emergency crew there, and as soon as they came there, getting that baby into their hands so the paramedic could take care of this new little girl. What a hero. And then he never heard what happened to this little baby girl. That was 1995. Now I want to tell you what happened this spring. Just a week or so ago, this 18-year-old girl, 18 years later, graduated from high school in Champaign, Illinois. 5 days after she was discarded, apparently abandoned, she was adopted by Bonnie and Greg James and named Skylar. Skylar James graduated from high school, but for the last 13 years, her adoptive parents and Skylar, they've been trying to find out who was this guy that God sent and rescued me with. They couldn't find them. Well, 3 weeks ago, Bonnie said, I went on Facebook and somebody thought that they had some contact information for the guy who had done this Charlie Heflin. And she got the phone number where he was a volunteer fireman at, and they had contact information on him. She got a hold of him and said, will you come to Skylar's graduation and surprise her? He came to the commencement exercises. He came to the graduation party afterwards. And Skylar was talking to some of her friends. And Mom comes up. And she says, I got to interrupt you for a second. There's somebody I want to introduce you to. This is Charlie Heflin. This is the guy who found you and who kept you alive so that your dad and I could adopt you and take care of you for the past 18 years. And Charlie and Skylar were talking about how they both wanted to meet each other. They'd been hoping for years that their paths would cross. And they said, we don't believe that this is just an accident or a fate of luck. We believe that the Holy Spirit has brought this about. Skylar's been raised in a Christian family. She's going to go to Chicago, Concordia University in Chicago, majoring in communications this fall. And Charlie, he had a couple of gifts for her. Clippings from the paper when it had happened and stuff years ago. A few things, pictures that somebody must have taken that he clipped out. And they said, I wanted to give you this jacket. He said, this is the jacket that I was wearing 18 years ago when God helped me to find you. And this is what I wrapped you in. You see, you are never alone. Jesus makes a promise, and he always keeps his word, always. I will not leave you as an orphan. I will come to you. Where I am, there you will be also. Because I live, you will live also. John chapter 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. Sometimes Norwegians aren't the only ones that have a hard time saying goodbye. the farewell discourse, five chapters long. He washes the feet of his disciples. The master becomes a servant. And then he gives them a new commandment, shares a final meal with them. Love one another just as I have loved you. And then in chapter 14, Jesus says, let not your hearts be too troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. He knows that they're going to be troubled. Troubled why, you ask? Well, because in chapter 13, Jesus says, I'm going to be leaving, and where I'm going, you can't come. And one of you that's sitting at the table and eating with me is going to betray me into the hand of sinners, where the Son of Man will be crucified. Peter says, I'm with you through thick and thin. You can count on me. Jesus says, before the cock crows, you'll deny me three times. You think these disciples aren't troubled? They got a lot of troubles, a lot of worries. And Jesus says, don't let your hearts be too troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, there's a room for you. For each of you. And Jesus says, I'm going to go and prepare it for you. And when I've got it prepared for you, then I am going to come and take you so that where I am, there you may be also. I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life for you. No one gets to the Father except through me. Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. The disciples are troubled, so Jesus wants to comfort them. He puts them in a community of faith and says, you'll never be alone when you're in the body of Christ. There's always going to be somebody that's got your back. Always somebody who's going to be looking out for you. You are never, ever alone. Love one another even as I have loved you. And then Jesus says, it's to your advantage that I'm going away. Our advantage that you're leaving us? I mean, I had a guy that's in his late 70s out in Tacoma who got super angry. When they talked about having a farewell party for us, he said, why should we give him a party? He's leaving us. He's abandoning us. I mean, he was just furious. Jesus says, it's to your advantage that I'm going away. I'm going to give you another parakletos. Parakletos means someone who walks alongside of you. An advocate, a defense attorney, somebody who speaks on your behalf, somebody who's got your back, a comforter that wraps you in the love of Jesus, a helper, your best friend. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, will be with you. You see what Jesus is giving the disciples and the church? Jesus is no longer isolated to one place at one time, but through the Holy Spirit is everywhere, always. Everywhere, always. It's to your advantage. Greater things will you do than what I'm doing. Why? Because it won't be you and me. It'll be the Holy Spirit in you and me, in all of us, everywhere, all times, doing the love of Jesus. Amazing. It's to your advantage that I'm going away, and I will give you the Holy Spirit, and He will be with you, and He will be in you, and you will never, ever be an orphan. The Spirit of truth, who will convict you of sin, who will convince you of righteousness, who will lead you into paths of righteousness, who will equip you with God-given faith. St. Peter says, baptism now saves you. Not as a removal of dirt, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of your Lord Jesus Christ. No orphans here. Because you have been sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked with the cross of Christ forever. Children of the Heavenly Father, safely in His bosom gather, nestling bird or star of heaven, such a refuge there was given. Though He giveth or He taketh, God His children ne'er forsaketh. His the loving purpose solely to preserve them, pure and holy. So you see, we hang on to this, even though it's ratty and 28 years old, because we don't want to forget that even if something happens to Julie and me, our children, our grandchildren, no orphans here. In Christ Jesus, no orphans here. Amen.